excited for the Word tonight, because it's all about the Word, right? Matthew chapter 24. Father, I thank you for your unction, your leading, your flow tonight. Matthew chapter 24. And let's go to verse number 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." It says the end is coming once the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all nations. Now, we started on this last week talking about that we've had the gospel of the cross preached in all nations. You'd be hard pressed to find a nation that's not heard about the gospel of the cross. You know, that Jesus died for our sins. But what we have not heard in all nations is the gospel of the kingdom. And that's the message that's being brought now forth in these end times. And God said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, then the end is going to come. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? It's the message Jesus came to preach. I did not go add up how many times I've done it in the past, but Jesus mentioned the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, just use the term the kingdom. I believe well over 100 times in the Gospels. And you may not find any mention of him talking about the cross. He would talk about he's going to be, you know, killed and be buried for 3 days and rise again. He talked about that on a few occasions, but he talked about the kingdom all the time. Amen. So if we go into the Gospels and we find out what Jesus had to say about the kingdom, we'll find out what the message of the kingdom is. And if we look at what he did when he preached about the kingdom to display or confirm his message, we'll find out what the kingdom does. Right? So we did this, started this last week. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4. And verse number 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." There's the gospel he was talking about. It says, "And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them, and there followed him great multitudes of people from all around." It says he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed multitudes, and more multitudes came searching for him. When the true gospel of the kingdom is being ministered, the signs and wonders of the kingdom will follow. And when the signs and wonders of the kingdom follow in full force, I believe multitudes will come to the house of God. Amen. Of course, I thought once we manifested the power of God, anything close to the level we do now, multitudes would come. But just like we're seeing the power of God poured out, the enemy's working overtime to spread lies about those moving in the power of God to keep people in fear of coming to the house of God. God set up this system that only those hungry are going to really find the kingdom. It's not going to be obtained by those that are lethargic or apathetic or lackadaisical towards their seeking of God. God's looking for a people that really want to know Him. Amen? And He's using those. He's drawing those to the houses that are preaching the kingdom so they can be equipped to carry the anointing of the kingdom out and preach it themselves. God is equipping saints right now like never before to take this end-time gospel of the kingdom throughout the world with the manifestation of signs and wonders following. Amen? And I believe He's going to use it to raise up entire churches flowing in the power of God to produce corporate anointings that manifest as the glory of God as well. The gospel of the kingdom goes beyond the gospel of the cross. And we brought this out last week, so let's look at it again. If over here on this side, say on this side of the sanctuary, we have the world system. The world system is limited by world strength, human wisdom, human ability, right? Over here, we have the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where there's no limitation. Through faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Over here, we have divine health and healing. We have all your relatives being saved. We have walking in the joy and the peace of God. We have here fullness of life and peace. I was listening to a Sid Roth program a few days ago. Might have been with Randy Clark, where he had been caught up to heaven. Anybody see that program? Randy Clark was one of the main people behind the Toronto Blessing, you know, nearly 20 years ago. And he had been caught up to heaven when he was younger. And he says, when he was, he was like on an elevator. But he experienced joy and peace and love and fulfillment like he had never known in life. And even after he was sent back, he says his wife testified for days. All he did was walk around the house and say, "I want to go back. I need to go back. I want to go back." Finally, she confronted him and says, "Listen, I need you here. Shut that down." And he realized what he was doing, and, you know, he knew he had an assignment. I know that feeling. Back over, my goodness, it's probably been 25 years ago now, I was caught up to heaven. And I didn't actually go into heaven. I was caught up right to the edge of heaven. Fortunately, never taken to hell. And God spoke to me. Jesus spoke, it was in a dream. He spoke to me prophetically about a series of events that was going to take place in the church and in my life. And in that dream, he was showing me the end times. I've never known fulfillment, anything close to that here on earth. There's no experience, no impartation, nothing of the natural you'll ever know that can compare to what I felt in that encounter with Jesus. Almost to heaven. And so when Randy Clark was describing it, I knew what he was talking about. I said, "That's it!" And that's what we'll experience for eternity when we are with Jesus. However, in the meantime, we have an assignment to preach the kingdom. And so, here we have fullness of everything available. Over there's the world system. Over here's the kingdom system. And in between is a transition point that's necessary to go from one to the other. There's no shortcut. There's no other way. There's nothing you can do of your own strength. There's only one way you can transition from dwelling in the world system to dwelling in the kingdom of heaven. And that's through the cross. Amen. Through coming to Jesus and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, to the kingdom, but by Me." The problem is we've had most of the church stop at the cross. They come all the way to the point of recognizing and confessing the cross in their life, and they stay the rest of their life just worshiping the cross and talking about what happened at the cross and all their sins were taken away at the cross and, you know, and how much God had mercy on them at the cross. And they stop there and never go into the Word and learn how do I operate in this new system? They spent all their lives learning how to operate in this system. You know, a little baby when it's born, one of the first things it discovers is its hand. And it'll just stare at its hand. Then it recognizes, wait a minute, this hand has a purpose. The baby says, "I recognize what the divine purpose of my hand is." Amen. I can suck on my thumb and I can grab things. And from that point on, that baby's using all of its five senses and all of its intellect to learn how to interact with this natural system. The problem is we have so many Christians, they come to the cross, they receive the message of salvation, not recognizing it's really a transition point between two kingdoms, and they're staying at the cross waiting until someday they die to move into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And death is not the transition point between the old system and the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Death is the transition point where you leave this body that would try to hinder you and hold you back in all demonic influence. You leave it behind and move into the full promotion of God. But if you don't do something from the cross forward, you won't have a whole lot for God to promote you through. In heaven, there's going to be rewards. And what you do from the cross on will determine those rewards. Amen. So if you stop at the cross and you never move into the principles and power of the kingdom, there probably won't be a whole lot you can get rewarded for. God's plan is for us to recognize that Jesus said, I'm the door. Right, John 10? I'm the door of the sheepfold. Now, see, I'm not content to find out Jesus is the door, go to the door and just sit in the doorway. Amen. I believe He's torn the veil in two and I have access to go inside. So I want to move as far past the door or through the door as I can and move and learn how this system operates. Because this system doesn't operate like that system. We've already had several people here healed tonight, right? Three or four people have already been supernaturally healed tonight of major things. At least it was major to them, right? Before we ever got into praise and worship, people were being healed. Before we ever started a service, people were being healed. And that is not available in that other system. It's only possible as you move into this kingdom and make a connection with the power of God through the principles of the kingdom. Amen. And God's calling His church to start preaching this other realm. Can you imagine? You know, one thing I've tried to imagine in the past, I really have trouble fathoming it, is I grew up in Alabama, and Helen Keller, her ministry was still active when I was a boy in Alabama. And she was like the number one star of Alabama next to the governor. And because she had been born, gotten sick, and became blind, deaf, or blind, deaf and dumb at a very young age. Can you imagine growing up not being able to hear or see? You can feel. I mean, smelling and feeling become really your primary senses, tasting. But you can't hear anybody's voice. You can't see anybody. All you can feel is when they touch you. And somebody's trying to teach you about the world you live in. And you can't see or hear it. How did she do that? She became a very renowned speaker. All communications by hand language. What an intellect she must have had. But to be able to function in a realm you can't see or hear from. She had to apply herself to learn how to function in the world. Well, see, I'm over here in this kingdom realm. My natural eyes can't see it. My natural ears aren't hearing a whole lot. Are you following me? This is when you've got to learn how to access other senses in your life to function in. You got to learn how does this, and you got to apply yourself to it. How does this realm function? How can I recognize the voice of God? How can I differentiate between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy? How can I taste and see that the Lord is good? How do I recognize the anointings? How can I activate? See, somehow somebody had to get it across to Helen Keller that if you go turn that knob, water will come on through the faucet. I mean, she had to learn that. And we've got to learn what principles activate the power of the kingdom of God. So that requires becoming a focused student from the cross on. Now, I mentioned this before, but I went to a somewhat of a country school. And a lot of the guys that went to school with, girls' school, you know, they're farm kids or whatever, you know, or small town. And a lot of them's attitude was, I went to high school. I'm done with school for life. I graduated. I'm finished with school. And if you just said, hey, why don't you take a college course? It'll help you with this. Nope, I'm done with school. Well, see, you can't take that attitude in moving into the end time church age. You can't have the attitude, well, I've been to church. I've been to school. You know, I've learned all I need to learn. The moment you come to the transition point of the cross, you got to recognize for the rest of your life, you got to learn how New Kingdom operates. It's time to revert back to childhood state. Remember Jesus said you got to become as a child? And the child's always learning about how the realm functions. I mean, the kid, he's jumping off of things. How high can I jump? He's learning what to touch, what's hot and what's not hot. Amen. He's always interacting with the world to find out what he can do. All growing up, you're always stretching what you can do, right? How far you can jump, how fast you can run, what you can climb. Well, see, we got to become like a child with the kingdom and say, I'm going to learn how to interact with this realm. I just had the image of some people with technology. You know, some people will get a new stereo or a new television or a new phone. Now the phones, my goodness, the phones nowadays. How many just want to go back to when you hit a button and dial out, listen in, skip all the rest of it? Not me. I like the new function. A lot of people, they get a new phone and they don't want to take any tutorial on it. They don't want anybody to show them. Just show me how to dial. I just want to know how to make a phone call. I don't care about that other stuff. Not me. If there's function in the phone, I want to know how to use it. Amen. I remember the first time a smartphone helped Patty and I. My goodness, this has been, probably 2006 or something like that. We went to New York City. You remember we went to New York City the time I stayed in New Jersey? We stayed at this hotel in New Jersey, right across the river from New York City, from Manhattan. And we had this idea, we're going to take a bus. People said, take a bus over to Manhattan. Versus driving to the city, just take a bus. And you save the parking, you want to fight the traffic, the crazy taxi drivers, then you just take a bus back. We said, well, sounds good. So we took a bus over to New York City there was a bus stop just around the corner from our hotel room. They gave us a map with the bus stop on it. And so we go into the city and we have a great time. We max it out. We take the latest bus we can home. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And they drive us back. And the bus drivers don't want to talk to you. Back to your seat. I'm saying, I need to get off here. Back to your seat. I'll tell you what. Okay. So finally, you know, after an hour on the bus, he comes to a stop, says, here's your stop. We get out. We don't recognize anything. It's not the same place we got on. But it was the right bus stop. It was just the off stop, not the on stop. And we start walking around. How long we walk around? About 45 minutes or so? We're walking down a street, and it's not looking good. I mean, it's past midnight, you know? And there's nothing open. It doesn't look like a neighborhood we want to walk through, you know, without... I mean, it was just not good. And I've got this map they gave me. And I'm looking at the map. I says, Patty, here's the map. Here's where it looks like we are. I've followed all the streets. Our hotel should be right down this road, but there's not a road. And I just got my iPhone 3. No, BlackBerry. Just got my BlackBerry. And so it was probably 2007. And I realized I've got internet on the BlackBerry. So I get in and I start Googling my hotel. Had to ask her what the name was. We Google the hotel, we find it, call it up. I said, we're out here in the middle of nowhere. The map you gave me is not showing the road we're on. She goes, oh, you know what? They closed that street a couple years ago. It doesn't even exist anymore. Right. So how do I find your hotel without a compass? And lights. So she gave me instructions how to go down a few blocks and take this turn and zigzag. And I said, okay. And we found our way back sometime in the middle of the night. Thank God for smartphones. Thank God I found out how to Google. Yeah, I had a phone. We've still been wandering. Walk till daylight and take another bus back into town and start over again. I don't know. Call somebody back home and say, can y'all come and get us? We don't know where we're at. Just Newark, New Jersey, somewhere. Big town. The point is being able to function that new with that new technology brought me through a dangerous situation. If nothing else, my wife could quit hyperventilating. Wouldn't have bothered me because I could just climb a tree and I'd been fine till morning. But she wouldn't let me boost her up. If we don't learn how to function in this, if we don't treat this new kingdom like new technology and recognize there's life-saving, life-altering power in there and determine we're going to know how to function in it, we'll fall short of accessing what God's made available to us. And he says in Hebrews 4 that we should fear not entering into his rest because we don't know how to claim the promises of God. The gospel of the kingdom is not just going to be preached in the end times. It's going to be manifested in full array. From divine healing to divine prosperity to the very love and glory of God being poured out. Amen? And this gospel of the kingdom, not just being preached, but being displayed, is what's going to bring in the last day harvest to the kingdom. It says, Jesus, and then comes the end. Well, what is the end for us? It's the rapture. The rapture will not take place until this kingdom has been preached and I believe manifested throughout the world. So that's why God's calling forth revivalists right now to get ready to be used. Forget what you used to do. Get ready for God to shift your focus and direction of life because He's got higher plans for you. There's a kingdom that must be manifested. Amen. And if you're not called to go out and proclaim it, you are called to stay home and manifest it. Oh, what an opportunity and an honor it is. Amen. Last week we went to Matthew chapter 7. Where Jesus, those who obey, let's go there anyway, Matthew 7. I was just going to mention it, but let's cover it anyway. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The kingdom is not going to be entered by just saying, Lord, Lord, I've been to the cross. It's going to be by following the leading of the Spirit of God from that point on to enter in and function in that kingdom. Now, how many know people that are not moving into the kingdom? Many, many, right? Yet they've been born again, many of them. Why would a born-again Christian not be moving into the kingdom? There's only one reason. Disobedience. He says the one that moves in is not the one that doesn't hear about it. It's the one that doesn't obey. Because you get born again, the Spirit of God is going to tell you, He's going to lead you into moving into that kingdom. And so many people have excuses not to go to the kingdom, just like going to the wedding feast, right? Well, you know, I've married a wife, or I've married a husband, or I got a boyfriend, he don't want me to go to church, or you know, I just don't feel like it's safe at that crazy church down there, you know. They're liable to pull snakes out or something. We're not going to pull snakes out. Anybody pulls a snake out in here, I will trample its head personally. Because that's the verse I stand on. They trample snakes and scorpions, right? People have so many excuses. Well, it's my job. Well, it's my family, it's my kids, it's my time. I don't understand the Bible. The Spirit of God is working overtime right now to tell people, find out about the kingdom. I'll throw something else out. He's working overtime right now telling people, leave the dead situation you're in, whether it's the church or whatever's holding you back, disconnect from it and go into kingdom life. So many people have these soul ties or these false commitments to churches that are dead. And of course, the biggest excuse now is, well, that's too much work. There's work over there. You mean I got to study the Word and I have to pray and fast and see God? You know, I'd rather just access His grace where I don't do anything anymore. And of course, we found it does not take abundance of grace to do nothing. But it's going to take all the grace you can access to move into the kingdom. Amen. Because over here, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. That verse cannot be talking about the eternal reign of Christ, you know, up in glory, because there's not going to be any devils fighting you in glory. The violence is moving into it now. The devil is fine with you stopping at the cross. There are churches all across the United States, all across the world, where everybody stopped at the church. Every time they come to church, it'd be like this right here in the world. You live in the world, own strength, own intellect, own charisma, own efforts, trying to be nice. And they come to church on Sunday morning or whatever, Wednesday night, whatever. And they come to church and they all gather at the cross. Jesus hung on the cross for you. He took your sins. Let's all remember Jesus on the cross and glorify Jesus for being on the cross for your sins and shedding His blood. And everybody says, yes, the cross, the cross, the cross. And they dismiss and they go right back in the world. That was never God's plan. Again, I'm not trying to diminish the cross. Praise God for the cross. But God's plan is we come to church, we've been over here, functioning in the world, we come to church, and we come through the cross, and we say, praise God for the cross, and then we say, now here's how you function in the kingdom. And you learn to abide over here. Now, starting out, there'll be times you're going to slide back over here. Not slide back as sin, but just functioning in your own strength. You forget to pray. You don't know you have access to promises, or you don't use your faith for certain things. But the plan is the more you come to church and the more you hear about the kingdom, the longer you stay over here. Till you finally come to the point you abide in Christ, you live out of this kingdom. You think kingdom. When a problem is you're faced with a situation or a challenge, the first thing you think is, how can I use the kingdom to overcome this versus the kingdom is my last resort? Patty and I, we went to Hawaii last year, stayed at this Wyndham Resort. It was nice. Oh, I wish it had been this year. Last year was a mild winter. I could have enjoyed Kauai for 10 days this year. It was a nice resort. Pastor Bob and I were just truly seeking God. God, have you called me to start a church here? We had a plan we could alternate 3 months each. We were arguing who got the winter 3 months. We discussed we'd have to alternate that. Now, we weren't going anywhere, but it was just a nice thing to think about. Because it was nice. So we're staying at this resort. If I have my choice between sleeping at some dump, you know, flea bag hotel, versus staying at a resort, I'll take the resort every time. And so many Christians want to live in this flea bag limited, dirty world system and make the kingdom of God their last resort. That if you finally get in a life-threatening situation when everything you've done has failed, well, now you better pray. That's the mindset of if they've even come to the cross, of a coming to the cross Christian. They function over here. They don't even think kingdom. But if everything collapses around them and their best efforts have failed, now let's fall on our face and cry out to God and hope maybe our begging will move Him to meet our needs. versus a person's learning how to function in the kingdom. Once they learn how to function over here, the kingdom's not their last resort, it's their first resort. And they have no intention of going back and living in that cursed system or looking for it to answer their situations. Over here, the Word becomes first priority. Prayer becomes your first option. Seed becomes your first tool. Amen. What can I use in the kingdom to see deliverance and manifestation here versus what can I do over there? And if nothing else works over there, let's try something here. I want to move to the place, I want us all to move to the place that anytime we have any kind of challenge, the first thing we're thinking of is, what seed do I have? Now, seed's more than money. Seed are words, actions of blessing, and money. Or goods. What do I have in my hand that I can use to activate the kingdom's power? Did you catch me on this? So we're to go past the cross into living out of the kingdom. You know, John chapter 10, Jesus, I'm the door. John 15, which is five chapters later, for those mathematically challenged, he says, you must now abide in me. You come to the door in chapter 10, you come to abiding in him in chapter 15. And then chapter 17 is about becoming one with him and the Father and walking in love and the glory. God wants to take us to that place that we think our mind moves towards. Our first inclination is always to function out of the kingdom of God. That we thank God with us. And we think nothing shall be impossible as well. We thank faith. We generally become faith people. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? You're going to fight every devil in hell over there trying to do it. Over here, you're going to fight the curse. But the devil's not going to be much concerned about you. Over here, you're going to fight the devils, but have victory over the curse. You got victory over the devils as well, but you got to do the backside kicking to get him off your blessing, right? You follow me on that? And I love kicking devils. I literally enjoy watching the powers of darkness have to bow to the Word of God. I'm trying to watch what I say because Jesus said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. But I do enjoy watching the curse have to bow. Demons have to leave at the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9. I want us to become kingdom-minded. Not cross-minded, kingdom-minded. And the cross is part of being kingdom-minded. You've got to be cross-minded to even become kingdom-minded. You've always got to carry the mindset the cross made you righteous. The blood forgave your sins. And continues to wash away your transgressions, or you don't move it very far at all. But do move. Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Oh, praise God. Here again, he's proclaiming the kingdom. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Why were they fainting? Because he's preaching one kingdom that they've not moved into yet. The natural man cannot keep up with kingdom operation. Apostle Callahan amazes me. Preaching all around the world. Now see, I did that trip to Ghana. And I tell you what, it took me each way a day to recover from jet lag. I mean, the first day I'm like, he's flying all over the place. 12 years older than I am. Going on limited sleep. Uncomfortable conditions. You know, hotels that don't even come close to matching what we have here. Eating food that's not what we're accustomed to. And preaching day in and day out, going from this nation to home to preach, getting up preaching to these churches. He's preaching all the time. Doing this conference, that conference, this nation, all of it. And no sickness, no disease, running at full strength. At his age, which will be 72 in April, at his age, he's doing what most 35-year-olds couldn't do. And it's supernatural. He knows how to call on the grace of God for strength and rest and anointing. And when he gets home, it doesn't take him 5 days to recover. He's right back in the pulpit preaching again, moving in the power of God again. Here's the thing. A natural man can't do that. So they fainted. Here's Jesus over functioning in the kingdom, and everybody else is fainting. If you want to keep up with what God's going to call you to do, you better learn how to function in the grace of God over here. Aim in the strengthening power of God. He says, verse 36 again, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus said, there's no shortage of power in the kingdom. They're over here fainting, they're weak because they're not accessing the kingdom. For them to move over into this power available to them, they need shepherds to be raised up that can teach them how to function over here. There's plenty of harvest, but not enough people proclaiming how to move over here. You know, it's amazing how many people have proclaimed their call to preach the cross. Follow me on this. Everybody who's ever been to church had a tingle on their head is now a sign of God to have their own church or their own ministry. And God's told me, you know, I'm this or that, and I'm to preach the gospel. Well, everybody's to preach the gospel. But everybody is, these so many self-appointed pastors or teachers are bringing people to the cross or attempting to, because it doesn't take any anointing to just get to the cross. Does not take a whole lot of understanding of the ways of God. All you got to know is the Romans road. All you got to know is God died for your sins. I'm going somewhere. You got to know God died for your sins. And you can tell people about the cross. And every Sunday you have a service. Look at the cross. This week we'll describe the nails. Next week we'll describe you held the hammer that drove the nails. Next we'll talk about the hole on his hands and his side. You know, you just every week something else about the cross. But you can't preach the kingdom unless you've had some training about the ways of the kingdom. And you can't manifest the kingdom unless you've learned how to apply yourself to these ways. So that's why you see so few people over here proclaiming the kingdom. Jesus said, pray forth shepherds that would teach people the kingdom, not just the cross. Many are called, a few chosen. I'm not trying to elevate anybody above somebody else. I'm just telling you, to go there requires many years of preparation and application and dedication. Over here, start a Bible study in the basement. We might have had one of those. Start your Bible study or you know, get you a little building or, you know, get you a sheet of paper you've sent off for that says you're now certified to preach the gospel. And you can tell people about the cross. You can download the sermons on the cross. But you're not going anywhere just downloading sermons on faith and the anointing unless you've learned to apply it yourself. Because there's going to come a time you've got to demonstrate the kingdom. And people will say, why should I believe you? It's not manifesting. So what do we get? We get the whole group that stopped at the cross want to attack those that are going into the kingdom because they don't know how to go in. If I don't know how to go in, or I'm not doing what's necessary to go in, then you must be making a mistake, but surely you're not any better than me. And we got most of the church trying to drag those that are in the kingdom back out to living in their limited lifestyle. That's why God's wanting you to learn how to function in this kingdom, to become one that can lead others in. Now again, you may never be a pastor. Some of you will be. You may never be a pastor, a lot of you. But you still have to know how to function in the kingdom. Because it doesn't just work for the pastors. It works for whosoever wills. Whosoever will say to this mountain, be that removed, right? It works for whoever will learn how it operates. You know what I found out? Algebra doesn't just work for the algebra teacher. You might say, well, it doesn't work for me either. There is no mathematical, you know, up to adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing and stuff like that. There is no mathematical skill I've used in my life more than algebra. I use algebra all the time. Well, I'm getting by fine without it. Yeah, but I can do stuff quicker than you if you don't know how to do it. The point is algebra gives me mathematical ability that somebody doesn't know math, algebra can't function in. And it wasn't just the teacher that could use it. Well, let's back it up so it's simpler. Some of you learn how to add, subtract, you know, up to third grade. Some of you maybe the ninth grade, I don't know. Learning how to add and subtract. How many know what add and subtract in here? Did you know the teacher taught you to do that? And you learned to do it? My guess is I surpassed all my teachers that taught me to add and subtract in my mathematical skills. Amen? I mean, my guess is I learned more math than my second grade teacher. My third grade teacher, I probably learned more math than they did. So I learned what they learned and I was able to go beyond even though I was never called. Actually, I did teach math two years. That didn't even work, did it? Even before I became a teacher, I could do the math. In the same fashion, you don't have to be a preacher to learn how to use these principles. And you can get where these principles are like adding, subtracting. They're not hard. There are no X's and Y's in kingdom function. There's variables and constants. The Word of God is always constant. Variable is something that changes. And all your circumstances are subject to change if you speak the constant of the Word of God. We could get a nice sermon out of that one. You know what? I like that one. I'm going to hold that for the geek conference right there now. You speak the constant Word of God over your variable situations, your variable situation can be a constant blessing. Amen. I like it. Hang on. I just got to receive that for just a second. I'll remember that one. I'll probably repeat it to you later tonight. The point is, they are not hard. It is not hard to function in the kingdom of God's principles. Let's see. You sow a seed, and it comes back to you 30, 60, 100-fold. Wow, that was difficult. I'm glad I got a hold of that one. You know what's difficult about it? Fighting all the devils want to take that revelation from you. They want to point to the red in your checkbook or your bank account or point to, you know, that you can't afford to tithe, you can't afford to sow, you can't afford to, you know. All the devils will tell you, don't bother praying in tongues, don't bother speaking the word, you're wasting your time. It's not hard. And if you'll learn to do it, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body, and you'll function in it too. And many of you already are. I was impressed. We had a show of hands Sunday in the church. How many people have actually laid hands on somebody, prayed for somebody, and they were instantly healed? And we had at least half the hands go. Let's try tonight. How many have had, you prayed for somebody, you laid your hands on them, they were instantly healed? There's a bunch of hands going up. Do you see that? And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. God is bringing forth in these end times. Remember, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. God's end time assignment is to get the gospel of the kingdom out. Amen. Start telling your friends and family members about the kingdom. Tell them how it goes beyond the cross. I got to talk to Jane about this Sunday. I did a message Easter several years back on the purchase of the cross, of 19 things that Jesus purchased for the cross. It wasn't just salvation. It was healing, prosperity, deliverance from shame, purchase after purchase. And Pastor Philip brought another one out. I don't think it's on my list. I'll have to look and see if it's on my list. But they put the king had a sign put over his head that said, King of the Jews. Wasn't that what it said? King of the Jews. The king, natural king, assigned to the King of Kings a title. And another substitutionary word Jesus bought for us is you now have a title God wants to put on you. I'm telling you. It could be pastor title. It could be apostle title. Teacher title. Evangelist title. CEO title. Intercessor title. Financial provider title. Whatever. God's got a title for you. I mentioned that commercial a week or so ago about the lady that comes up. She works for a small company, and in the commercial, she's talking to her boss. She's got a new way to save money by using a different packaging system or something, you know, some delivery system. He said, that's excellent. That's going to save us a whole lot of money. She says, does that mean I get a raise? Have y'all seen this one? So he steps back and he goes, this is the boss, you know. He goes like this. Congratulations, you have a new title. She says, do I get a raise with it? And he goes, management couldn't make that happen. He's management, you know. She got a title. God has a title for you. And it's something to do with proclaiming and demonstrating this kingdom. You know, a lot of the disciples had titles. How about John the Beloved? Would you like to have that title, John the Beloved? Amen. How about Alma the Devil Slayer? Amen. Aaron the Glory Prayer? Amen. There's something God wants to get you involved in. That there's a title assignment to you. You may never know what the assignment title is till you get to heaven. But God's got something He wants you assigned to in these end times. And it's beyond just getting by in life. It's manifesting this end time kingdom. Matthew chapter 10. Now in Matthew chapter 10, let's go to verse 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. All manner of disease. He gives power now to the 12. To do what? To preach the cross? No, to demonstrate the kingdom. And he goes on down to verse number 7. And as you go, preach saying, the cross is at hand. The crucifixion is coming. He didn't say that, does he? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or is approaching near, is what the Greek actually says. The kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. So what he's saying is, go tell people the kingdom is near. What the disciples didn't understand is there was a transition point between where they were and the kingdom coming called the cross. But go demonstrate the kingdom and it will draw people to the cross. See, if I'm just proclaiming the cross, and that's my evangelistic message, and I'm saying, just come as you are, without one care. Come to the cross. Let the blood touch your life. Jesus will forgive your sins. And you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That sounds great. And then you tell them, and here's the best part. When you die, you get to go to heaven and be with God forever. Wait a minute. So you want me to take your word at it? You just want me to believe you that God is real? And that somehow he sent somebody to die a horrible death on a cross 2,000 years ago. And if I'll just believe that a guy went to the cross 2,000 years ago, someday I'll go to heaven. Now listen, the Holy Spirit will make that real to people. But from a just natural logical standpoint, it becomes a very tough hurdle for many people to get past. Do you follow me? I mean, people that have been raised all their life taught about evolution and taught about how there is no God and, you know, Big Bang and everything, and they hear about this God in heaven and Noah's flood and Moses splitting the Red Sea and they hear all these stories. They're going like, that's the craziest stuff. And you want me to give my life, quit my partying, believing someday when I die I get to go to heaven. That becomes difficult for many people. But if instead you can go beyond the cross transition point and get over here in this kingdom, and you're saying, look at this, we're healing the sick. We're cleansing the lepers. We're raising the dead. The power of God's manifesting supernaturally. And they can see from one to the other, understand we're in the natural world still. They can see from there to here. And they can see supernatural manifestation. You know what it'll do? They'll say, I would like to go over there with you. How do I get here? Go to that transition cross. See, if we can demonstrate something the five senses can pick up, the natural man's logical barriers will be then overcome where people will come to that decision point. That's how I got saved. I had heard the message of the cross. I'd heard about Jesus. I'd even had experiences of the anointing on my life. Prior to getting saved, God drawn me, talking to me. But I don't know if I ever would have gotten saved had not somebody demonstrated the kingdom to me. Mike Huster, right before I got saved, demonstrated to me praying in tongues. I knew he wasn't making it up. I knew he couldn't do it himself. I said, that's supernatural. I knew it was. Now I know there's some reality. Demonstration of the reality of this kingdom. And then the night Patty and I got saved, July 1984, we both went to church with a friend. I'm thinking, I'm going to hear another message, you know. Somebody's going to preach to him. And this guy gets up who's visiting. One of the elders of this ministry. Visiting that church that night. Comes behind the pulpit. And he says, while I was back there, God told me that I need to speak this word out. There's a couple here for the first time. You've been seeking God, and you've been wondering about the things of God. And he starts describing, he might as well said, and your social security number is na-na-na-na-na. We looked at each other. Pat and I looked at each other. We knew it was us. He says, are you here? I raised my hand. Now, of course, the power of God's moving too. The anointing's in the air. I don't know what it is, but I know things are clear. And next thing you know, he has us up front, and we're receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're celebrating. I got saved because I had people demonstrate the kingdom to me more than just tell me about the cross. And when they showed to me the kingdom, I was willing to go to the cross because I knew if this was a reality of the power of the kingdom, then the cross is also a reality. I certainly want to go to that. But there was created in me a fire. Once I'd seen in the Word and in manifestation the power of the kingdom, there was a desire in me then to go and learn how to function in this kingdom. To learn this Word that has all this power evidently attached to it. The harvest is plentiful. Saturated over there. The cross preachers are not few. But the laborers demonstrating the kingdom are few and far between. You know, I believe one of the reasons we have satellite TV now. You know, closed circuit TV, DVDs, internet is so, because the laborers are so few, people that are hungry can still go online and witness what God is doing and be drawn to it through that fashion. I remember when I was first saved, if I wanted to see anything supernatural, I had to get it off television. Because I didn't know what church it was manifesting before God brought us to our current pastor. If we wanted to see anything supernatural, we had to tune it in on TV. And then they were mostly just talking about it, other than tongues. Even then, most people weren't praying in tongues. It's become very commonplace now. Back then, it was much more of a rarity. If we will learn how this kingdom operates and move into it forcefully, it will make you a rarity in the kingdom of God. In other words, as far as the overall percentage of Christians, you'll be in the top 1% of Christians. You learn how to function as kingdom, you'll be in the top 1%. Probably much higher. And you know when in the natural what they do with the top 1% of any testing system? You get open doors of opportunity. If you take the ACT and you score in the top 1%, you can name your college. Clay Smither, you guys know Elizabeth Smither, her son Clay. Went to ORU, graduated as top student, I believe, in the college in English. Went to Japan for a year, taught English, got up, became a stonemason. And through the process decided that he wanted to become a doctor. So he decided to take, he's never had pre-med courses, never had any kind of thing leading that direction. He took English courses. He did a little bit of studying on the side. Took the pre-med exam and scored in the top 1% of the nation. Top fraction of a percent. And every medical school in the nation said, we want you. And you know what? He ended up at, what's the name of it? Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic said, we have one spot left. We want you in it. Now he's gone to med school at Mayo Clinic. You become top 1% of anything. Anything. They will fast track you to the top. What do you think God's going to do if you become the one person, the one in 100 learns how to function in this kingdom? Doors will open for you. Divine appointments will be manifested. Opportunities to prove the power of God will come across your path. Amen. Again, you may never be in full-time ministry, but you will end up in full-time ministry. If you followed that. Because you're going to get so busy operating in the power of God it will probably overtake your life. I believe that's what happened with Smith Wigglesworth. He was a plumber. And he got too busy manifesting the healing power of God, he couldn't do any plumbing anymore. Did you know, had Smith Wigglesworth become the world's greatest plumber, we still would have never heard of him? Because that other guy already invented the toilet. We'll leave off the rest. You are positioning yourself to be 1 in 100, if not 1 in 1,000, if not 1 in 1,000,000. Don't stop. Don't stop expecting to go deeper into there than ever before. Let these kind of messages create a hunger in you to function in this power. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Thank you, Jesus. I want to live in that realm. I want to live in this realm and just look over at that realm. And the further you get into this realm, the more ridiculous that realm looks like. The more limiting, the more frail, the more limiting an ability to help you with anything. I've been reading through the book of Job here the past couple days. And in it, they bring out this point, especially Job brings up this point, that there are many wicked people that will live prosperous lives in the natural. It'll look like they have everything. And they'll go to their father's still with all their money. Of course, they can't take it with them. And people will say, well, it looks like the wicked prosper as much as the righteous. And the reason that is because Job never had a revelation of what the genuine righteous can live in. Because once you move over here, there's stuff the wicked natural man cannot function in. And none of his money or conniving or manipulation can get it for him. Not to mention you get over here in these end times. God said he's going to take all their stuff anyway and give it to you. For the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Won't you stand to your feet with me? Let's worship God here for a second, how you see I want us to finish out this service.